Chapter 17, I'll just read two verses, try to preach what's on my heart. The Bible said in verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare unto you.'" And so Paul here goes into Athens, and the Bible said he saw a lot of idolatry there. The Bible said he was, thank God, moved and stirred in his spirit. And he got there, thank God, in the marketplace, and different places. Paul preached this resurrection of Christ, the person of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And they disputed with him. They were so ignorant of any knowledge of God. The fact that somebody would put an altar to the unknown God. That means to me that anybody could worship there and what they believed, for they did not know the true God. And certainly, friend, this morning, there's a lot of people don't know God this morning. They just go to a place and they really don't know why. They don't know Him. They don't have a reason why they go. They just go out of habit, out of ritual, out of religion. And that's exactly the way religion is. But we find here in the scripture in verse 22, Paul said, "I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious." And the word superstitious, this means that you're more religious than others. And so these people here in this place, they depended on worldly wisdom. They thought that way. They was philosophers. They was much in idolatry. A lot of statues of men. A lot of Greek mythology and all the things that went with my friend, the carnal man with the natural man, that they did not know God. They did not know the true God. They went through a form. They went through a motion. Amen. It even talked about the Epicureans here in verse number, thank God, 18. And the Stoics, and they said, "Well, this man's just a vain talker. We don't understand what he's saying." And there's a crowd of people there that met in a certain place, amen, that they would just hear what somebody had to say. Amen, they could go there every day, hey, listen, and men could tell them what they knew. Amen, they gave their own truth out, if it was truth. And these men were men that wanted to hear something new. They set themselves up, thank God, in a little council of men. Hey, God, the judge, what these people said. But here Paul came and thank God told them that Jesus was, hey, God, the Messiah and the resurrected Lord. And we find this morning, friend, that they, hey, God, amen, said this man's bringing forth strange gods. This man's bringing something else that's not been heard. This man's bringing something else that's foreign this morning. And I'm sad to say today, but friend, we live in a day that people really don't know what the truth is. They don't know what the Bible says. And they're just going through a false religion. They're going through falseness this morning. There's so much idolatry in America today. Amen, son. If Paul came to America, he'd probably feel the same way he did when he entered Athens, because of all the idolatry and all the religion and all the falseness. And just because there's a building with a steeple on it has nothing to do whether it's a real church or not. It's just a building. Thank God, the church, my friend, is Christ's people. It's them that's been washed in blood of the Lamb of God, thank God, that comes into an assembly of believers that meet, thank God, as an appointed time to worship Him and to hear the gospel. And we've got so in this day and time that people's even made the building an idol. I do believe we call this the house of God because God comes here with His own children. But friend, this morning, it's not because of the building. Thank God, it's because of us. It's because of our, thank God, salvation, our relationship with Him. And we meet together this morning. And do many people believe, my friend, thank God, there's sacredness in the building. There's no sacredness in a building. There's no sacredness in an altar to an unknown God. Amen. Listen. Amen. Jesus is the altar.
And everywhere you meet with Him, that's where you, thank God, my friend, fellowship. We don't need an altar no more. Thank God, the altar is a place of sacrifice. Amen. Jesus is our sacrifice. Thank God, friend, we have a place to pray. Amen. An altar, thank God, was done away with. Thank God, friend, we don't have, my friend, something made with hands. We're spiritual beings. We've been born again of the Holy Ghost. We can come and worship. Thank God, Him is spirit and truth. And too many today so religious. Thank God, friend, that all they got's an outward appearance. Amen. And all they got's a bunch of rituals. Amen. They don't know God. I'm telling you this morning, He's not known by what we see. He's known by what we hear this morning. Amen. It's the only way you know God's what you hear. You don't know God by what you see. You can say the glory, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament of His handiwork and everything about God seen in the world. Amen. Because He's God. He's the Creator. But man won't get saved. Hey, God just doing, He's the Creator. They've got to know what they are and who He is. And brother, listen. These men here did not have an idea. He said, you're ignorantly worship. A word ignorant, this means you don't have no knowledge. You're without the fullness of knowledge. You don't know who He is. He began declaring to them who He was. But listen this morning. He dealt with them on their own language. Amen. He said, we're His offspring. In other words, we're His creation. Amen. God's the one that created us. Thank God, not ourselves. Amen. Listen. Thank God, friend, this thing, a man come up. Amen. Evolved. That's a lie, my friend. Hey, God, we have created the very image of God. And God breathed in a man's nose or the nostrils. The breath of life, man became a living soul. And mankind only knows God by the way. Hey, God, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is the expressed image of God. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Listen, in Him all things consist. Hey, God, they didn't know that. They didn't know Him. You're a blessed people this morning. Hey, God, to live in a country. Hey, God, where we can still express ourselves in true worship and preaching. Hey, God, and tell the truth. Amen. And men might be saved and the church edified. I'm telling you, we're seeing. Hey, God, in this day and time, we're many. Hey, God, have left the faith and departed because of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But I'm telling you, the real sheep, hey, God, will know His voice and follow Him, and a stranger they will not follow. Amen. That's right. Thank God, friend. I'm telling you, Paul here preached to them. They stood on Mars Hill as a rocky hill. Amen. And he said here in the Scripture, thank God, he said in verse 26, God had made one blood. He said, every man, thank God, comes through Adam. Amen. They ain't but one blood. Thank God, you can be a different pigmentation. You can be a different nationality. But all men, thank God, come through one blood. And that's Adam. And because of that blood being corrupt, every man's a sinner. Every man is a transgressor of God's pure and holy law. That he can't, my friend. Hey, God, live a perfect life. Hey, God, Christ, live the perfect life. But mankind's born. Hey, God, into sin. I'm telling you, you're a sinner this morning. Hey, God, friend, you're lost. Without God, without hope. Hey, God. That's why Jesus came to seek the lost. Hey, God, to die for sinners. Hey, God, He would save them. I'm telling you, friend, the only blood that flows through my veins and your veins are sinful. That's sinful blood. Hey, God, that comes through the very veins. Hey, God, of my daddy and mama, when I was born in this sin-cursed world. Amen. That's right. One blood. Notice what he said here. He said to dwell on the face of the earth had determined the times before appointed. It showed the sovereignty of God. He said God's determined a boundary. God's determined appointed time. You're here time on earth. I'm telling you, one day you're going to die, friend. Amen. You're going to die. That's right, because sin brings forth death. Listen. He said he's appointed in bounds of their habitation. He said God set this thing up. Hey, God said this is where they'll go, and this is where they'll go. Can I give you what I think this morning? I think the reason God's allowed some things he has in them leaving their habitation, amen, because of the gospel's sake. Amen. There's people that's in this country today that would never heard the gospel in their country. Amen. Friend, listen. I was just reading the other day where in these other countries they cut people's hands off. Amen. Because they steal. They doing all kinds. They going back to the Old Testament. And listen, friend, if you look at all them Arab religions, all that Muslim religion, a lot of them, amen, I'm getting stuff from the Old Testament right here in this Bible. Amen. And they're trying to put the law on them people. But buddy, I'm telling you, they're far off. Number one, they got the wrong God. Amen. And they got the wrong Bible. Amen. Ain't but one, thank God. And that's what I held in my hand this morning. I'm telling you this morning, dear friend, there's a lot of people in America today. Hey, God. Amen. That's come here and heard the gospel and got born again. I'm telling you, friend. Hey, God's good this morning. And he set her up like this. Amen. He set your habitation, son. He told you. He didn't tell you, but thank God he set it up you to be born in North Carolina. That's right. Everywhere you was born, it's the will of God. That's right. You didn't have no choice in your birth, your birthplace, your parents. You didn't have no choice in that. That was a God's choice. That was God's setup. He set that up, friend. And that's why he said, you're one blood. He said, there's a habitation. He said in verse 27, that you should seek the Lord that happily ye might feel after him. He said, you can touch him. Amen. He's a reachable God. He ain't some God of mythology. He ain't some God, amen, that just my friend. Ain't God people in their own mind have made up. Listen, this crowd full of little gods. Amen. Tell you this, I was looking at this. Athene was one. They my friend, no worship. It was a goddess of wisdom. And the thing of it is, friend, they say the goddess or the god. Listen, can I tell you this morning? That's of the devil. That's an evil spirit. Amen. Listen, thank God these people that set these people up. And I've even heard, even when I was growing up in life, thank God all this stuff that people did. I knew it was of the devil, friend, even when I was a child, because I knew that it wasn't nothing to do with the true God, even though I didn't know the Bible. My conscience told me that. But look at all the witchcraft and the sorcery and all the wickedness going on in these days and hours to try to portray God as he's some God, amen, that lives by chance. God don't live by chance. He lives by his own word and will, and he does as he pleases, amen. But I'm telling you, they've made everything a God now. There's a lot of gods in America, little g's, amen, the God of sports, the God of money, the God of sex, the God, my friend, of all kind of things. A God, my friend. Thank God, I'm telling you this morning, there's a lot of things people worship. Thank God, why is the church house not full this morning? But they can fill a football stadium on Saturday night in 35-degree weather, carrying a pitch kid up and down a field. Amen. And paying, thank God, $100 or more to get in. Thank God, the church. Amen. This morning, don't even have a full house. I'm going to tell you why. Because we live in the day of the God of pleasure. Everybody likes pleasure. Amen. Brother, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And what's happened in this day and hour, we live like that. Amen. We people say, live for the weekend. I like what Brother Rollo said. It ain't the weekend no more. It's the wicked end. Amen. Everybody wants to do their sin on Friday and Saturday. Amen. A lot of people get killed on Sunday. Amen. Because they ain't where they ought to be. Amen. God did set up a place for a man to go. And when they don't go, friend, I'm telling you this, there's a lot of danger, amen. That's right. We live in a bad day, and people just, listen, can I tell you this? I believe the Lord's days every day in my life because I'm in relationship with Him. But I believe it's a specific day set aside to come and worship. And I'm not going to get off on all what people do on the Lord's day. I'm not a legalist. But I am, thank God, got some common sense about me. And the thing of it is, when we was growing up, people respected this day of worship. But now it's not respected. And the reason it isn't is because the church has lost power. And everything that raises a building, a steeple, says they're a church. And they got now rock bands playing in churches. And they got people up there in short pants preaching. And they say that God called. And they say, well, it's a spiritual kingdom. It is, but we ain't walking around in our spirit. I got a body to temple of the Holy Ghost. My body testifies, thank God, of what's in me, because it manifests through me. Amen. I know flesh and blood ain't going to inherit the kingdom of God. I realize that. It's a spiritual birth and a spiritual life. But I'm telling you what's happening this day, and we don't worship these outward things. What's happened is that we don't have no representation, thank God, of who the real God is. Amen. Because there's so many religions today in America. Hey, open the door for it all. Amen. I saw the other day where some boy in class did not answer something about being a Muslim, and they give him a zero on a test. This is in Maryland, and I'm telling you, it's sad, but it's true. They're pushing that Islamic junk, is what it is, on our young people in classrooms. And if you said anything about Jesus or God or the King James Bible or the truth of God, they'd want to take you and expel you from the schoolhouse, call your parents, and call it hate. Even when I read the Strong's Concordance or read the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it is at the top of my computer, it'll say something like dangerous material or something. You know why? Because they don't like the true definitions of anything. Nobody don't want it straight no more. Everybody wants it watered down. Amen. And don't want the Holy Ghost to work. And we live in a day, friend, that they don't want it. And brother, I'm telling you, Paul, God said it's God or nothing. Amen. It's Christ or nothing. It's the book or nothing. It ain't God. No opinions with it. If God don't, hey, God, Elijah said, don't halt between two opinions. If God be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. God help us all. Hey, God, he's a true God. We ought to live like it. Amen. That's right. Thank God. So he got down there preaching to that crowd in Acts 17. And he told them, we live and move and have our being in this God. That you wouldn't have life without this God. Then he got down to verse 30. And he said this, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at it. He overlooked it. Because he was so ignorant. But he said, now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And I tell you this morning, it ain't an option whether you repent or not. It's not. It's a commandment. God commanded humanity. He's looking in your face and my face and the face of this godless world and telling them, except you repent, you're going to perish. And he said, he's commanding you to repent. And repent means, thank God, to change, turn, change your mind. Amen. Of who Christ is. Realize you're accountable to God Himself. Every action will be brought into judgment. And you're going to have to face Him one day. And it better be better to repent now. Hey, God, or go to hell another time. People don't believe in hell. They don't believe in no judgment no more. That's why they live the way they do. The law's slacking now. Then you got law officers. Ain't God being treated like dogs? And I understand some of them's arrogant. But I'll put it this way. Thank God they still represent us. Amen. That's right. Praise God. With the law slacking. There ain't no punishment no more. Thank God for grace. We'd all be in hell if it wasn't. I'd be in hell today. I thought about that not long ago. Where would I be if I had not got saved 35 years ago? I don't even know where I'd be, friend. I'd probably be, thank God, doing some kind of wicked, dirty, rotten sins. Amen. Out living the way I wanted to. Amen. How can a man even hold down a marriage? How can a woman even hold down a marriage without being built on Christ? Without being built on the rock? Without Him being the main thing? Amen. I was talking to Brother Mitchell and Brother Hobbs the other night. His girl standing there, and I said, y'all ain't married yet? And they said, no, not yet. And they said, well, one boy come by, he wasn't the right one. And I said, well, the next time they come by, ask them, thank God that they love Jesus more than they love you.
find a rock. Ain't that right? Any girl that don't want her, or boy that wouldn't want the one they married to love God above them, then they ain't right with God. My wife, thank God, we're one today. But I'm telling you this, brethren, thank God. Amen. When I married her, thank God, we became one flesh. But the day I got saved, I became one with God. Amen. And listen, it don't bother our relationship one bit. It helped it. Amen. We wouldn't make it without Him. We wouldn't make it without the help of God. You can't make it without the help of God. These people here living their own wisdom, living their own way. That's the way these liberals are today. Amen. They don't like any truth. Amen. They let everybody do what they want to. In fact, the Epicureans, my friend, their doctrine was enjoy life now. Thought there's no afterlife. Well, buddy, I just want to tell you this morning, there's an afterlife. There's an afterlife. You ain't going to die like a dog, son. They're going to throw you back in the hole. Yeah, your flesh is going to be put in a hole, but I'm telling you what, your soul and spirit is going to live, or it's going to be in destruction once. Amen. When your last breath is taken, I talked to God a good bit about things, and I asked Him the other night, I said, God, how long am I going to live? He said, forever. I said, I'm talking about in this body. He didn't answer me. He said, preacher, how long do you think you'll live? I don't know. In this body, I don't know. I don't know. But I soon know this. I'm going to give an account to Him. This crowd here didn't. That's the way people live today. When two men can walk hand in hand together and say that God put them together, they wicked, corrupt, and vile. That's wicked. I can't imagine something like that, thinking like that. And then people's families get involved in it, then it becomes all right. It don't become all right. It doesn't say unless it's your family. It says God said it's wrong. Amen. Why would I want to hang around a bunch of two men holding hands together and say they married? That's wicked. Amen. That's against nature. This whole crowd, if you go back to Rome and all the ungodliness that went on in them places and immorality, there's a lot of that. That's what that means over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, over there, that effeminate. They took them young boys and sold them, got into prostitution when they was young, and they abused them boys. That's what it meant. Goes on today. Look at me. Watch your children. Don't you turn your children over to anybody. Let them spend the night with anybody. Are you crazy? It's your responsibility to take care of them anyway. Why'd you have them? But the thing of it is, thank God, just dish them off on everybody else. That aggravates me. And I just saw read on the news where two young girls was at a bus stop in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and some man come by and tried to get them. Boy, I'm about to get hot. You know what gripes me? I'm just going to tell you right out of my mouth. What gripes me is you love, thank God, your things more than you do your own children. You'd throw them out, son. You'd throw them out to something. Amen. But if something happened to your car, amen, or something that you just idolized, you'd go haywire. Son, you ain't got no better possession than these little old kids up here. No, we'll thank God for you parents bringing them to the house of God. Amen. That's the will of God. Thank God. It ought to be above a little league. That's right, ain't it? You can't learn that playing. Thank God I ain't against baseball and basketball and football if it's in the proper order. But, buddy, you laying out of church playing it, that's not right. Well, I believe that, buddy. I don't care if we get any amen or not. Amen. Thank God. Well, Sally's got to go to dance lessons. God help you. Billy's got the Cub Scouts tonight. God help you. What about a man of God preaching to him?
What about them worshiping with the brethren? What about them being around that? Thank God, I'm telling you, a lot of these children, my friends, that threw off anybody. And I'm telling you this, you better watch them all the time. Amen. Because they'd easily be devoured by a bunch of wicked people in this world. I'm going to tell you what a man told me. He said, they caught a man down here in, I don't know, one of these states in the south. And he said he was going down there and had a tractor trailer. About had 200 kids in the back of it. I'm going to tell you what, that's bad. I'm about to get it all this morning, so just hang in there. I'm going to tell you what's bad too. People lying from the pulpit. And declaring them to be good people. The worst thing a man could ever do is deceive a man's soul to hell. This bunch of people wasn't nothing but religious. That's all they had, religion. Over religion. He said, you're so superstitious. Amen. And I tell you what, amen. There's a lot of you superstitious that you wouldn't think superstitious. If I remove this pulpit and sit up here and preach, you know what? People come in. Where's the pulpit at? Surely we can't have church without the pulpit. Why don't y'all come up here and kiss it after church? I ain't going to move it, but that's just a place to stay. Or if somebody had a table, you know, this table, we take it out. I'd like to take it out. It takes a lot of room up here when we won't come pray. But surely, we can't do that. I mean, my grandpa put that tree out there in the yard, and we can't dare cut that down. Y'all so superstitious, it's pitiful. Y'all, surely I ain't going to get off on this. I'm just going to make mission go on. Surely y'all ain't that superstitious to believe if a black cat runs out in front of you, he's going to mark an X on your window. I wave at him and say, well, have a good day. Son, I tell you what, I ain't four-leaf clover and rabbit foot and all that old foolishness. It didn't help the rabbit. I don't believe in none of that mess. I don't believe in that. I mean, and see, people build religions off what they think. That's why the Pope is in control of the Catholic Church, because they think he's the instrument God's using to help them get to heaven. And he's the biggest liar that ever lived. The Pope's a liar. Everybody that goes to the Catholic Church is believing a lie. They wouldn't stay there. You say, y'all were rough, preacher. No, I ain't rough. I'm trying to get you to see. Thank God this superstitious way is all this over-religious way. Paul had to reveal the truth to him. He told him that God's going to judge them. Thank God for their, my friend, accountability to God. Amen. I'll give you this here and I'm finished. Look in Acts 17 here, what Paul's preaching did. He wasn't holding nothing back. He told them he did it in the right way. Thank God, because he got a hold of their attention. And verse 34 said, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. You say, preacher, ain't many people going to believe the way you preaching. Well, praise God, if God puts it in their hearts to hear it, they will. The only way you're going to get saved, God save you. And the only way you get saved, the Holy Spirit deals with you and shows you what you are before you get saved. Because He don't save anybody that's not lost. And He don't deal with people, thank God, my friend, until He deals with them. How old you when you got saved?
13, I think.
You know why you didn't get saved when you were 12? Because he didn't deal with you.
Right.
No man can come to the Father except the Father sent him drawing. You got saved when you was, what, 20-something? 23, how old are you? 35, he says. You know why you didn't get saved when you was 21? God didn't deal with you. He might have started dealing with you. You know why you made that profession and you went back that night that gone. And that night you walked in, the Holy Spirit said, you sat down where you're sitting. That's why. He got you in the condition that you'd want Him. Amen. There ain't nobody ever got saved didn't want to get saved. How many, when Paul, thank God, saw that light, he said, who art thou, Lord? He couldn't have turned back. Because the light that shined on him so bright it knocked him down. He could have tried to turn back. And he said, I wasn't disobedient to that heavenly vision. The Holy Spirit came on him. Amen. You get saved when God fills your heart and speaks to you through the Word. And see, Paul went and preached to these people in there, and the Bible said in the prior verse here, in the prior verse, the Bible said this, he said, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. I mean, they said, they scoffed and made fun of him, and really what they said was, this man's a lying nurse. Ain't no way that somebody can resurrect from the dead. How do you know he resurrected? You wasn't there. Well, I believe the Scripture. Why do you? But it's got to be revealed to me. I believe that when I went to that Methodist Sunday School class, they had them little papers you colored, you know, in the picture of the cross and the empty tomb. They said that Jesus rose again. I mean, that is against natural thinking, you know, that a man would actually be able to get out of the grave by himself. You know how I know he did? He lives in me. The Bible said it. Without the Scripture saying it, I wouldn't know it. But I'm going to tell you what, they didn't have the Scripture. They had an Old Testament. They didn't have a New Testament. In Acts 8:17. Boy, I'm about to tell you something here. I'm about to tell you something. You know how you know it? The force of the Holy Ghost. Under the spoken word and testimony and witness of them that saw him. Them that saw him spoke the word with the force of the Holy Ghost that got in them men's heart to prove them and show them, thank God, that it's the resurrected Christ. How in the world do I think, if you died right now, how in the world would I think you got in? The force of the Holy Spirit in your life that's bear witness that God saved you. They mocked him. They said, how can we hear something? It's resurrection. Notice this here. I'm going to give you this here. He said, some mocked and others said, we'll hear you again. How many people have done that in the house of God? That some of you sit here this morning, you lost, you never have been saved. And you know what you say? Come back next Sunday. How do you know it's going to be the next Sunday? How many people said that? I'll hear you again later. I mean, I'll hear you again later, but I ain't going to listen now. So Paul departed from among them. Man of God, they said, we'll see you then. It ain't no pain. It's the way it is. No, it's just, he said, how be it? Verse 34, certain men claiming him in belief, among the which is Dionysus, the Areopagite. Do you know what that man's name means? A feaster. This is what this man, Dionysus, he was devoted to Bacchus. He was on that council that went to that place up there, and they sat and they judged people on what they said. He was in the audience that day Paul preached. The word Bacchus means God, little g, of wine. Now, if I'm reading this thing right, what he's basically saying to me is Bacchus was a drunk. We got a lot of drunk officials. Everybody's on the council don't mean they live right. Amen, buddy. Listen to this. Here's this man. Thank God. Amen. He, my friend, thank God, was a feaster, a reveler. Amen. But when he got the preached word to him, thank God the Holy Ghost convicted him and he became a believer. You say, how's it happen, preacher? Here's how it happened. Man, here's the word, the Holy Ghost convicts him, and he becomes a believer. And he don't go with that crowd no more. He's sitting amongst us. Amen. And a woman named Damaris and others with them. That woman was a woman of Athens. Now you tell me, it don't say how many people was around him that day preaching on Mars Hill. It don't say. It don't say. I mean, in my own estimation, there's a multitude of people. But there's just a few that got saved. But when they got saved, listen, This is not what I read in the Bible. This is what history says. History said that man that got saved right there became one of the pastors of the church in Corinth. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I'm telling you what, listen to me. God takes wicked sinners and saves a soul and puts them in the pulpit. God takes wicked sinners and saves their soul and puts them in the ministry. He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. He's not looking at my pedigree. God didn't take my birth certificate and my family tree and say, because he's in this tree, then I'm going to save him. Now, I will say this. Then people in that family tree, if you've got good prayers in that family tree, and people that believe God, it increases the opportunity for that man to hear the gospel more than in a rebel's family. But I will say this. God don't have to have either one of them. He just chooses to deal with hearts and bring a man out of a sinful, lost condition, save their soul, put his spirit in them, and make them new. Use them for the glory of God. That's what God does. I'll ask you this question before we leave this morning. Are you saved? That's a good question. Let's stand.